with the Lord as far as putting my trust in Him for caring for me and doing away with medicines. It was like, boy, He just opened up and just everything. I mean, all the medicines. It was nothing like I ever dreamed it would be. I mean, I figured it was going to be this forsaken thing that I would just be suffering through. Boy, He just took it and just took it all away.
Took it away.
Amen.
Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is just building on something that we were talking about a few minutes ago. But I want to find this is something that has a whole lot to do with wisdom and understanding. You know, the Lord says, above all things, get wisdom and understanding. If you don't understand what this is all about, you know, even if you have it committed to memory, it's not going to profit you. Verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' tales. Here's where I really want us to start. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Let's just say physical exercise profiteth little. How much is a little? But godliness or godly exercise is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that life which is to come. Read that in the Amplified, please, Pat.
Verse 8.
Yeah.
For physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness, spiritual training, useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come.
There's absolutely no, let me go back to that verse again. Study. Have you studied to show yourself approved unto God? And it's nothing like being a God-approved man. That's a great place to be. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. See, here's the thing. The Lord says that it's a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You ever just be in a conversation with a group of guys or the ladies or something, and man, you know what you want to say and it won't come for nothing. And we've all been there. We've all been 30 minutes later after it's all over, oh, there it is. It's too late. It's too late to say it then. Okay, this is really important to understand. Who lives in you? Let's just say He's in there. Are you letting Him live His life? Are you letting Him live? Have you literally died to yourself? See, if you haven't done this, then you don't qualify. Have you literally died to yourself? Or are you still just pretty much involved in physical exercise? What kind of exercise takes place in every hospital all over this globe? Physical or spiritual?
Physical
exercise. And how much is it going to profit you? See, Robert is expressing his lament. You know, the doctors have done all this, and they're expensive tests, and they come back, and ain't nothing wrong. And I understand, and I really do.
This is true.
They can't find it. It profits a little. It ain't going to profit much. But yet he says what? Spiritual exercise is profitable unto all things, including the physical. Remember how God sees the secret. So this is one of the things I had to... Anybody say Hebrews 4:13? Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Are you a creature? You're a creature. So that means you're manifest in His sight. Because He sees in secret. All things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You know, He's looking through each one of us like a pane of glass. Reads everything. Ain't missed nothing. So see, there's no pulling the wool over God's eyes. There's no pulling the wool over God's eyes. He knows exactly where we are. No demo versions with the Lord. He sees the real thing. What does He say? If you ascend into heaven, I'm there. If you go into the depths of hell, I'm there. If you go into the waters, I'm there. Because He is all and He's in all and He's filled all places. I don't mean come clean with me. You see, there's a whole lot of things I might could tell you about me that would make you never want to see me or lay eyes on me again. And we could all probably say something similar. But you see, if I took a roll of ad machine tape, you know, the big old roll of machine tape, opened the hole, just spooned it all out, and began to write every sin that I could imagine that I've ever written, and filled up the whole spool, you know what I can say about that whole thing? You know what's stamped on it?
Paid.
Forgiven. Paid. Forgiven. Paid. Okay? Now, there are ramifications of that that I'm not going to get into, and Brother David can explain them because they're very important. Because if I sin willfully now, then I'm the one's going to have to pay for that. I mean, it's forgiven. It's just like David when he did what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah and had that man murdered. What happened? God forgave him. But what? What did he say? And the sword ain't going to depart from your house. You're in trouble, Mr. David, for the rest of your life. And it didn't. Man, his family, all kind of troubles came on. And we think, oh, David, how wonderful David. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
He turned over to the tormentors.
That's right. Look at Matthew chapter 7. If you then being evil, what does that declare about our state of being? Now, he goes on to say, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Our state of being is evil. So we got to understand. See, are you a believer? You believe this? Remember, now, God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. And he's declaring that our state of being is evil. Look at Luke 4:1. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus' state of being was not evil, was it? His state of being was full of the Holy Ghost. Or look at Luke 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? There's none good save one. And that's God. So how many are good? One. Lord Jesus. God is good. There's only one good. My state of being is evil. I'm nothing. If I think I'm something, I've deceived myself. I'm absolutely nothing apart from Christ. With Christ, I can do all things. That's what he tells me.
To the extent he lives in you, you're good. To the extent he don't, you're not, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. The whole thing I want us to understand is that it's vitally important to recognize that we have a moral option to exercise. And if you don't understand this, or this isn't coming through, or your reasoning is having trouble with this, I'm just going to say, try to be a believer. Try to practice this. And Paul says many times, just imitate. Just do what I do. Because if you'll do what I do, you'll get what I got. Okay? Now, of course, faith has got to be in there, because if it's not mixed with faith, you'll get nothing. But there's only one good, and that's God. The Holy Spirit, Luke 4:1 declares to us the state of being of the Lord Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, remember 1 John 4:4? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So remember that there's somebody living in somebody. Okay? There is a Holy Spirit that has come to reinvade my dead human spirit and make it alive again. So now it is now incumbent on me to recognize who he is, living where he does, and what he's doing in there. Look at John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. What does it mean to abide somewhere?
Yeah,
that's where you live. This is where you live. The same bringeth forth much fruit. What's the contrary of that? If you're not abiding in him, how much fruit you bring forth?
A dead fig tree.
You ain't bringing forth no fruit. For without me, you can do how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. I said, do you believe that? See, there, a lot of people can say, yeah, I believe that, but then go right on and be a practicing atheist. And go right on doing all kind of stuff themselves. You see, people don't really understand. Man, you can be busy, 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 busy for Jesus and him not have the least bit of interest in what you're doing. It is vitally important for us to ask. I say that a lot because I mean it. What does it mean to be vital?
Alive.
That's right. It is vitally important to understand. The Lord Jesus says, without me, apart from me, without vital union with me, you can do nothing. So what is all our business apart from him? Now, it doesn't mean that this can be very much church people with the Holy Spirit living in them. Because remember, my state of being is what?
Evil.
Evil. And the Lord is saying, without me as the one that's filled with the Holy Ghost, what? You can do nothing. Yet there again now, I'll take you back to Philippians 4:13. He tells me also, again, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And we'll say it again. It is incumbent on me now to exercise a moral option. I've got to decide on who is the origin of my activity. Is it still going to be me and the energy of my flesh? How much does the flesh profit?
Nothing.
The arm of the flesh shall fail. Is that true of the Lord Jesus? Is that true of the somebody that's living in somebody? No, because he's greater than the one than me and greater than the one that's in the world. So what do I have to do to make all this? How do I employ the Lord Jesus on my behalf to show himself strong to do things for me that my flesh will not do? It will not provide for me. Ask him and thank him. All right, look at Philippians 4:6. First four words say, be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean go play in traffic. The Lord is saying, I want you to quit caring for yourself, and I want you to turn your care over to me. Be careful for nothing. But then he tells you how to do that. See, he's not going to leave us without knowing how to do that. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, so here's that thanksgiving, in everything give thanks. Let your requests be made known to God. What is another word for a request? Ask. Here's how you employ the Lord Jesus on your behalf. This is the open secret that exists today. Cease caring for yourself and turn all your care over to Him. See, most men don't want to do that because it scares them to death. Well, He might send me to Africa. Or He might want to tell me to give all my money away. Or something like that. If you're even thinking like that, your thoughts are all still messed up. Because if you recognize that you're bought with a price, you're no longer your own, and that you don't own anything, that you're simply a steward over the things that He's permitted you to have right now, what? Are you a believer? Do you believe that? Do you practice that, or are you a practicing atheist? I mean, you give mental and lip service to it because you go about your own, what you know, go about your own business. Be careful for nothing. Just relate it to Him and thank Him. Walk on, knowing that He's taking care of it. And what are you going to get as a result of that? What is this world crying out for? Man, it's everywhere. Peace. Peace. Man, I mean, my life, my world, my family, my house, my business is just utter turmoil. But if you do verse 6, you're going to get verse 7. That's the only way you're going to get that. Now, you hear preachers abuse that. Peace of God. Passes understanding. They'll abuse it all the time. Use it like a lucky charm or something. Dangle it around. But they don't understand you've got to do 6 to get 7. Have you ceased caring for yourself? Have you given all your care over to Him? That's why He says if you don't die to yourself, there's no way you're going to live. So you're fully prepared to die to yourself. See, what happens when you die to yourself? You utterly remove from yourself the fear of death. I mean, if you're dead, the dead can't die. That doesn't mean I'm not physically alive. I am, as we all are right this minute. But you see, the Lord's talking about giving up all that I have so that He can be my everything. So that I come to full maturity in Christ. I'm still Raymond or Roy Taylor. Just like every one of you are just exactly who you are. But the issue is, have you come to the maturity of the mind of Christ? Have you completed the process, or are you at least on the road to the process of the renewing of the mind? If you're coming to this meeting right here and listening to this man, you're on the road. Now, I can't say that about almost all the churches. I can't say that. Because I've come to know too much about them. A lot of what you see on the surface is just a demo version, folks. It's not the reality. It's not the reality. I don't care what denomination, I don't care what group, I don't care where it is or how sentimental you may be about it. How do you make it work? How do you employ the Lord Jesus? How do you have your, let's just say this in pious language, how do you get your prayers answered? Ask Him and thank Him. That ain't, it's no more complicated than that. I promise you.
But
now,
you must believe
that you've received. Mm-hmm. See, and you've got to, Romans 4:17, call those things which be not as though they were. See? Then you put the power that is in you to work. You turn all of God loose in your life and experience. And every day and every part of your life is just as big as God, and it's so exciting, and he'll blow your mind. But so much of what you must do is learn how to ask Him and thank Him. What does James 1:5 say? Does any lack wisdom? Anybody in this room lack wisdom? Raise your hand if you lack wisdom. Jennifer's got plenty. No, Jennifer? Justin, there's that hand. I see that hand. If any lack wisdom, what does it say?
Let him ask.
Let him ask. Let him ask. And he says, and the Lord will answer liberally and will not upbraid you. In other words, he ain't going to fuss you. Here's the issue. My state of being is evil. If you're born in this world, your state of being is evil. If you're regenerate in the Holy Spirit, if you've received Christ and you're saved and you know it, then the one that lives in you is good and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very possible for you to be that, to come into maturity into that, but it's all going to be predicated on how much of yourself that you give to the Lord Jesus. See, if you're holding anything back, then you see you're not walking with Him in that area. See, it's until you give Him all of you, and you don't have to do it all at once. I didn't. Good grief, no. It took me probably 7 years to get to the place where the Lord was even, when he came out and told me, I was just absolutely stunned. I was sitting at my desk at Mo Money Assistance, and he said, Ray, you've overcome everything I've had in every one of those churches.
And I about, fell,
I about fell out of the chair. I said, no. And he told me, yes, you have. Well, see, there's no boast in that, folks. I'm just telling you that He permitted it as He saw that my heart was only for Him, that my focus was only for Him. Well, you say, well, I'm not there. I can't do that. No, you can't, because I didn't do it. But I didn't come into the knowledge of the fact that I couldn't do it until 1989 in August, and I didn't come into the knowledge that the Lord Jesus loved me so much that He wanted me to give all of my care over to Him, so that I literally ceased to live my life and function as Raymond Roy Taylor and let Him function as Jesus Christ in my life. Well, the way I do that today is I just simply say, Lord, You do it. Thank You. To everything I do. I was so sick, I couldn't even turn over my bed because my back hurt me so bad. I could turn just a little bit, my back would just kill me. I would just cry out, it hurt me so bad. Until I began to say, Lord, You turn this body and thank You. I turned the body and had absolutely no pain. I just let Him do everything I do. I literally let Him do everything I do. And I do it through an exercise of prayer, by praying without ceasing, and everything giving thanks, knowing that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. Okay, now, I can ask again, do you believe that? But you see, if you're not living in that place, then you're an unbelieving believer and literally a practicing atheist, even though you give lip service and mental assent to what God's Word has to say. It's as simple as that. It is literally, and this, it's much deeper. It's much deeper. I've given a very shallow, on-the-surface description of the principle of life. And it's a principle. It really is a principle. Let me show you something. We've got a few more minutes. Turn over to 2 Chronicles, verse 14. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet, 10 years. Why was it quiet? God made it quiet. No turmoil. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He did what was good. Asa was a good man. Verse 3, for he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. These were all the places of idolatry that Israel had erected. And commanded Judah, it was a command from the king to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. To do it, not just hear it, but do it. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before. What is God going to do when you get quiet? What is that peace that passes understanding when you do what God says for you to do?
Make your enemies quiet.
He'll make your enemies quiet. He'll be quiet, peaceful. Nice, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. See, if you have war, you can't build cities. You've got to be defending what you got. He was building cities. The land had rest. They had no war in those years because the Lord had given him. Who had given it to him? The Lord. Okay. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls, towers, gates, bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. Because they did what? They did what? They sought the Lord. Okay. Verse 8. Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 200 and fourscore thousand. And all these were mighty men of battle. So he had something in the neighborhood of 500,000 men that he could call on to go to battle. Okay, and then we learn an account. Verse 9, they came out against them, Sarah the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000. How many is that?
Million.
A million. And 300 chariots, and came unto Marisha. So here is Asa, outnumbered 2-1. I mean, this is a lot of forces. And Zerah's been on destroying it. Verse 10. Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Marisha. Okay, well, there is something for us to do. You know, we don't just sit back and glaze our eyes because God lives in us. What do? We let him take charge of our humanity and mobilize our humanity and use our humanity to let him win the battle. Verse 11. Asa stopped right there. What did he do? He asked. He prayed. What did he say? Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with you, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. And it's that help in the Old Testament, okay? And the New Testament is do it. Actually, he did it here. O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Verse 12. So Asa spoke the Ethiopians. Is that what it said? That's not what it said. What does it say?
The Lord
smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Now remember, they're outnumbered 2-1. This was Asa's Goliath, if you will. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them. They chased them. It's 500,000 chasing 1,000,000.